Well, happy Father's Day to all dads out there, biological, spiritual, relational, doesn't matter who you are. If you have a spirit of a father today, thank you. Thank you for having that spirit of a father, not a spirit of abdication. Do you know what's really cool? There's tons of different ways to define what a man is these days. But all I'm going to say, I'm not going to get on that subject, all I can say is this, is that the best examples of men that I've found in my life are those that don't push people down, but pull people up. Is there no greater mark of a man that sees an issue and decides to fix it and sort it? A person in need and they think, I can change that. I can create a place of spiritual or social upward mobility. Manhood is under threat. It is under threat, and it's always been under threat because often those in power are not really a true reflection of what fatherhood is on the ground. So if you're a guy in here and you protect someone, you love someone, you follow Jesus just as much as you demand others follow you, keep going because you're really important and you really matter. There's a scripture in the Bible, and it's a book in the book of 1 Timothy or 1 Timothy, and it's the first letter to a guy called Timothy. It's written by a guy called Paul. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8. As you're finding that, I want to tell you that this is written by a guy called Paul. This is a letter written to a guy called Timothy by a guy called Paul. And Paul is like a spiritual father to Timothy. Timothy's just started to lead a church where he lives in the Mediterranean. And this is Paul's letter saying, hey, Tim, don't give up. Here's a bit of wisdom. So here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. It's going to be on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you. Here we go. This is what he says. I, Paul, desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Let me just read that again. I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Now, this talk, I want to direct it at the men. Okay, I want to direct it at you guys. But these principles just apply to you if you're, you know, a female or identify otherwise. This is just a universal principle, but I want to speak directly to the men today. There are three postures Paul is saying that we can have. There's a posture of anger, there's a posture of argument, quarreling, or there's a posture of holy hands. Now, I can see that just being a guy myself, I can see men tend to have three different postures. They're either an angry dude, an argumentative dude, or they're a guy that just has this different posture. So the first posture is a posture of anger. I need a volunteer. Tony Fullerton, can I borrow you, please? Come on, ex-military man. To attention, Fullerton. Be careful with that stage. That's it. Beautiful. Okay. Thank you, Tony. It's going to be there's no spaghetti. There's no thing, all right? So posture of anger is this. Can you put your fists up? Like you used to do, that's it. Turn and face, everybody. That's it, yeah. Jake Paul will be challenging you to a fight soon, you'll see. If you don't know who that is, you can Google it. This is what a lot of guys have, a posture of anger. Now, why do some guys think everything's a fight? Everything's like life. Oh, life is a hustle. It's a drag. It's a struggle. Man, you've got to fight for what you earn. You've got to fight. But I don't think life should be like that. Like when I sit under this doctrine of grace that Jesus brought, I don't stand with a posture like watching my back like everybody just wants to fight with me. No, I'm definitely not. It's really, that beard, there's a lot of testosterone flowing in that body. I don't know. There's conflict at work. There's always someone after my job. There's always someone in my family undermining me. There's this posture of just defensiveness, this anger. Now, when is anger good, right? Because I think anger can be a God thing. When you look in the scriptures, it often says that God got angry himself. So we know, made in his image, this absolute sculpture of a man right here is made in God's image, and so are you. And so, okay, God gets angry. So anger's not always bad. So how do you know when anger's good and when it's bad? Okay, well, here's the difference. Good anger is that kind of anger that makes you do what God would do. If you get angry and it makes you do something that God or Jesus wouldn't do, then you've got to question, well, am I getting angry about the right thing? But a good, called a righteous anger, an anger that is in right standing, causes you to do anything that God would do. But some guys just walk around with the fists up. That's it. Give us a jab and a hook. Go on. Give us a jab and a hook. Go on. That's it. Oh, yeah. Oof. Boosh, have it. Remember this. If you struggle with anger today, anger is not cheap. It's very expensive. Anger costs a lot more than joy does, than peace does. It's easier to get angry than to just chill. It's easier to speak and to shout than it is to stop and listen. But it's actually more expensive because it costs you. So make sure that whatever you get angry about will cost you the right things and in the right amounts. So this, are you okay to stay there just for a minute? Yeah, great. So this is anger. The second posture is arguments. Have you ever had a chat with someone, with a guy, who's just always has a chip, like a chip shop on his shoulder? I remember talking to this one guy at this bus stop once, and I just, I'm quite friendly, so I was having a chat with him. So I was like, hey, how you doing? And, oh, yeah, okay. Said, you got your family? I've got a missus. All right. Well, you know, X, Y, Z, and she starts doing this. And says, oh, what about your grandkids? Because he's an old. What about your grandkids? Well, this grandkid's great. And this other one, oh, man, he's got, I worry about him. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, well, I'll switch the topic then if family's not good. So what about football? Which team do you support? Which team do I support? I support Man United. I thought, oh, well, there's a dying story right there. That's a nothing good about this. Sue, the only good thing is Ronaldo's back. We don't score any goals. So, well, okay, what about, I'd say it's a nice, the weather in Britain, to talk about the weather in Britain is like the bog standard conversationary point. I say, look at this weather. It's great, isn't it? It's really warm today. He said, yeah, global warming. I thought, brilliant. Well, no matter what I do, this guy is going to somehow have an issue. I'm going to ask if, let's pick it, Nader. I wonder if you come up on stage. Come on, Nader. You knew this was going to happen because it happens every week. So come on stage and I'm going to put these on over here. That's it. I've got to come over this side, mate. I've got some props. I've got a doll. I've got a bag and there's a little Hoover here. There's a little Hoover that doesn't work. It's a kid's one. So, some lads, if they don't have a posture of anger, they often have an argumentative posture in life and they go around picking stuff up. So as a dad, now Nader's not a dad, right? Not that we know of, but it's true. He's not a dad, right? It's true. I can vouch for him. Guy's an integrity. He's a Timothy. So anyway, So pick up something, mate. So they pick up something on the floor and carry it in your arms. That's it. They pick up something on the floor. Pick another thing up. That's it. Then pick another thing up. That's right. Until the hands, hold it close to your chest, until the hands are full of stuff. And they walk through life and they pick up a kid's toy. And they go, kids these days have it so easy. Kids these days. Look at this present they got for Christmas. All I got when I was a kid for Christmas was an orange and tuberculosis. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at what the kids get, you know? And they go to work and they think, work is so hard. Sick of work. Sick of my boss. I am the boss. I'm sick of myself. Tired of this. All this technology. What's all that about? They pick up another thing and it's just argumentative. Like, they're just having a fight with life all the time. Just have this chip on the shoulder. You stand next to anger, mate. You okay staying up here for a minute? And they just have this. It's like blind date, but kind of the worst kind of blind date. You know what I mean? Like who's got the biggest issues? But we've got anger over here. And we've got Mr. Argument over here. We have these two postures as men sometimes. See, men in Genesis weren't born in the Garden of Eden. They were born in the wilderness. And that's really significant because men often find the greatest pleasure when they're on an adventure, when they're doing something, when they're fighting for someone to save, whether it's a bride in a castle from a dragon, whether it's forging something with the hands, creating something from the dust, that's when we, doesn't matter what kind of dust it is, could be technology, could be engineering, could be gardening, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, we find the most pleasure. But sometimes we just have to stop all this fighting and arguing and frustration. And we have to pivot to a different posture, because there's a third posture. This is the posture of holy hands. I'm going to ask Josh, would you come on stage? Josh, that's it. That's it, mate. Come on. Come on. It's about time. That's it. If you've never seen Josh before, it's because he's usually behind a drum kit. You're a really good drummer, mate. Who was one of your drum teachers that taught you really well?
Dan Cathers.
No, me. Me, not Dan. Me. That's... Right, stand here, mate. Okay, so this is the posture, okay? So it's a bit like that. So there's a posture, yeah? There you go. Okay. So that's a holy hands posture. Now, in fact, scooch over that side because I'm going to throw a ball at you in a sec. So we've got a holy hands posture. Why is this posture the best? So let's just think about it now. Let's de-spiritualize it. Think about it. Arms up, yeah? Have you noticed that you can never tell an angry man or an argumentative man a criticism or a point of learning or a point of change? Because every time you offer a suggestion, they're just like, well, so I've always done it. Or, well, it's worked for years. Or, no, I've done this longer than you, pal. Just this, like, insecurity, this closed offness. You know, it's like you can't teach them anything new. But with holy hands, there's a different posture. So... this is the blessing of God. It's a good blessing. You really want this. Now I want you to stay in your posture, okay? I mean, you can punch, you can try and punch it if you want, but if you don't, you can just let it hit you in the face, whichever's easier, to be honest. So this is the blessing of God, and God wants to bless you. We live in an open heaven. But if you've got a posture of anger, very good. That's so weird. Thank you. He's not going to be able to receive it. So let's try the argumentative man. Let's see if he can receive the blessing of God. Now this guy's in the perfect posture to catch this blessing. Well done, Josh. Really good that. Just assume your posture is just one last time and then I'll leave you alone. Because this posture is open-handed. See, it's open-handed. See, I'm not trying to fight with you. I'm not trying to get anything. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm just here. I'm just here. I'm here to receive. You know, the greatest political leaders that have ever been on our entire earth were men and women who had holy hands over fists. Were inspiring people who said, you can do anything to me. You can hurt me in any way. But it ain't going to change what I believe about this world. This is what we call peaceful leadership. It's still a leadership that values adventure, still wants a fight, still looking for the big time, still looking to create things out of the dirt, but it's not a posture that is angry or argumentative. It's just simply here. Thank you, boys. Well done. Good job, guys. That's it. So what makes hands holy? Because let's be honest, the male contingent of the population ain't the cleanest, right? It's not the nicest smelling. Can I tell you a secret? One thing I really enjoy about being on stage here isn't actually delivering the talk. Because I spray deodorant before I come on because it's quite sweaty. I tell you what, women's deodorant is so, so nice, right? So good. I smell like a Japanese forest right now. This is great. Oh, so funny, isn't it? Like, the Lynx is all about rhino tusk, you know, and like Lightning Mountain. And like the women's one is like a blossom tree at the height of autumn or something. I love it anyway. So if you give me a hug afterwards, then I smell like a blossom tree. So we're not the nicest smelling of people. We're not the cleanest sort of people. But what makes holy hands holy in the first place, and the band can come and join me. We'll wrap up now. two reasons that this is holy. Number one is any time you're in contact with God, that's a holy moment. That's a holy moment. You might have a holy moment here today. You might have already had one. Fantastic. You might have one in a minute. But you also, if you're fishing, you might be experiencing just a calmness and just a sense, man, that, wow, I just connected to what God's created. That's a holy moment because God is meeting you. When you're at work, or, you know, when you're with the kids, when you're at the gym, when you're on a walk, when you're on a commute, when you're in a team meeting and you're volunteering a team and someone's sharing about what God's, it's just a holy moment because God's there, so it's holy. So that's the first thing. I think when we raise holy hands to meet with God, that is a holy moment because God is holy. And the second one is this. I would challenge every single one of us, doesn't matter male or female, I would challenge all of us to give ourselves wholly to God. Not part of me, not a smidgen of me, but all of me. Every single fiber of my being, I stand there with my arms out. And I say, God, take everything. Speak to everything. I'm going to be honest with you about everything, my past, my present, what I'm afraid of, what my dreams are. You're just standing there, it's just holy. I am. It's a wholeness kind of deal. That's what makes it holy. So the fact we're meeting with God and he's holy, but also we're giving ourselves wholly to God, not partially to him. So, do you want to be angry? Do you want to be argumentative? Or are you ready to set yourself in a posture to receive what God wants to give? So my final question is, will you lift your hands? Will you lift your hands? And this is going to be applied to everybody, not just the lads now. I want you to stand to your feet. Let's have a moment of response, shall we? I want to create a meditative moment by reading a psalm and allow you, if you feel like you're angry or you feel like you've got a burden, if you feel like you're argumentative, I want an opportunity for you to let go and change your posture, okay? Two responses. The first one is, do you need to give God your anger or an argumentative nature? Now, this is for men and women, but particularly for you lads now. Spent the last 18 minutes explaining my argument, ironically, to you. If you're angry, it's time to get over it now. Because it's expensive, man. Come on. When you live with a posture of just being angry and argumentative, when you live with this sense that the world is against you, it robs you of the joy right in front of you. Okay, it's hard, but it's not all hard. Okay, that's bad, but it's not all bad. Okay, they are an issue to you, but it's not all an issue, is it? It's time to just take a step back, dial down a bit, switch your posture, just let go. Start again, find a bit of peace, find a bit of rest. A good question to ask yourself is, am I the person that I wanted to be 20 years ago? As you look, you set yourself 20 years ago and look at the guy that you are today. Is that the kind of guy you wanted to be? Is that the kind of person you wanted to be? And if it's not, because I'm sure it's a bit of a mix, but overall, if it's not, I think you should respond. So this is what I want to do. I'm going to read a psalm. And if you want to get rid of some anger, if you want to get rid of some arguments, if you want to get rid of some stuff that's inside, I'm going to read this psalm really quite quietly and quite slowly. And I just want, as I'm reading it, I just want you to begin to let go and change your posture, okay? So if that's you here today, doesn't matter if you're man or woman, whatever, if you're responding to this, you can just lift up holy hands. As I read it and as you feel prompted to, just read it. Just you can hold up your hands and say, I'm going to give myself wholly to you. God, please take away this anger. Please take away this, whatever it is. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but take this burden off me, Lord. So if this is for you, you can respond as you need to by lifting up holy hands. You can close your eyes as well. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
one thing that I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. And I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. People of Wigan, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Just take a minute now, just in this atmosphere, and just give yourself wholly to God.